The themes and the content discussed in this program may be of an adult nature. It is not suitable for younger ears. Live and local. After the Watershed.
I love the way she says, may be of an adult nature. It's always of an adult nature.
I've just seen... How rude of you.
We're only a minute in. What have I done?
To jump straight in.
Oh.
No hello.
Oh, sorry. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Am I allowed to say something?
Go on.
You've been nominated.
Oh, I don't like to talk about it much.
Oh, what? Okay, then fine. Congratulations for your afternoon show. It's so brilliant.
Thank
I'm really
you.
Proud of you, and it's absolutely brilliant. You're so brilliant.
So clever. Oh, no, you're making me blush.
Well,
thank you.
You shouldn't blush because it's deserved. So, adult nature.
Yes.
I've just met one of our colleagues who said to me, your show scares me sometimes.
Really? Which colleague can we say?
I'm not going
to
say.
We have to keep that confidential.
Isn't that brilliant?
Oh. It scares them. Was it a man?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Today, we're talking about...
I love how dismissive. Yep. Okay.
Today, we're talking about the sexual trends of 2020.
Yeah.
And I love that because you do this time of year, you open the paper, it's like, you know, what are the food trends of 2020? What are the exercise trends of 2020? So why not look at the sexual trends as well? And what seems to be the sort of growing trend is this idea of sexual wellness.
Yeah.
What is it?
I have no idea.
Right, well, hopefully we'll find out at some point today.
Live and local. After the Watershed.
We'll talk more about Gwyneth's vagina later on, but for now...
What a segue.
We need to talk to sex trends expert Dominique Koretsos from the Healthy Pleasure Collective. Dominique, what is it that makes you such an expert in this area?
I'd like to say that I probably do it more than I talk about it, but that's probably not going to be true. So what I do is, and what the company does, is we work with... ingenious entrepreneurs who bring together products and solutions for our sexual journey, whether we are, you know, coming of age and we're wanting to learn how to have safe sex, whether it's products for menopause, whether it's products for, you know, people who feel that they have dysfunctions like premature ejaculation. I'm saying all the words I'm not supposed to say, but they are supposed to be said. And it's about bringing pleasure to our lives and understanding the inherent value it has mentally, physically, biologically, and socially, and how we move through. So I'm very fortunate to be exposed to products, solutions, dialogues, conversations, events, experts, facilitators that really bring a lot of meaning to this part of our life that has traditionally and historically been either completely obscure. You know, for us to say, I had the most holistic, you know, empowering sex education ever, said very few of us.
Yes.
Can I, you know, I love that people are exploring sex, and sexual wellness is like something that Ali and I, can we say we didn't know about?
We didn't know about. No.
And I guess sexual wellness is a different thing from sex. But when you just say, you know, people haven't had these holistic, mind-blowing experiences, does that kind of put another pressure on sex? That if we're not just having sex that feels good, that it has to be life-changing. Does that put a pressure on it?
I think it does. And I don't think, you know, I don't think the dialogues that are happening in our lives or advertising or the likes of social media helps. When we say holistic, we talk about the entire journey. So one is connecting to our body, how we think about our bodies, how we think and we communicate and identify with our sexualities and how it moves us through the world and how we integrate socially. And there is a lot of pressure, you're right, where it's about closing an orgasm gap, but it's not about the orgasm gap. It's about the journey and what pleasure brings to your life on an everyday basis. We're not all having 5-hour cervical orgasms.
Are we not?
I bet Gwyneth is.
I bet Gwyneth,
well, no, I think Gwyneth is. Potentially, maybe, with their tension. But, you know, some are, but that is very much on the opposite spectrum. And for some, that's very, you know, that's very woo-woo for them.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Self-care is one of those terms that you hear bandied about an awful lot. And it would appear that in 2020, we will see this idea of self-care ramp up even more. Now, I don't know about you, Bibi, but my idea of self-care is a warm bath and an early night. A
couple of cotton buds.
What I hadn't considered was a vulva mask.
Well, and Ali, if you maybe don't mind me saying.
Maybe I should consider
what
it.
What is that, please?
Dominique, okay, I have no idea. You better explain.
Okay, so let's just start off by saying a bath is a wonderful way to have self-care. Anything that's going to allow you to connect with your body and and taking time for yourself is a wonderful starting point for self-care. A vulva mask, our vulvas are like any other part of our body. Things happen down there for us women, whether it's thrush, whether it's we like to do laser and we're dealing with irritation or sort of friction. We need to take care of that body part as we do our face, our armpits, our legs. We don't have to take care of it, but the option to take care of it. So a vulva mask, in our instances, are masks that, for example, keep thrush at bay.
Right, like now, a face mask, but
like
for down there.
Mask. But yes, but we've only ever been given a pharmaceutical product. We don't all want to have drug pharmaceuticals placed on our vulva where it's absorbed into our bloodstream really, really fast. So there are some brands that we're known to only use over the counter. There are opportunities and options which we can use to keep that, for example, thrush at bay. There might be something else, for example, during menopausal that helps with lubrication, which is hugely important in our sexual and intimate lives. It's also really important in increasing blood circulation so that it keeps our hormones balanced and we are happier. And when we're happier, the whole world is in balance.
I'm picturing Ali's next pamper party.
Cucumbers on the eyes and a vulva mask.
Big old natural yogurt vulva mask.
What are you doing a week on Friday?
Nothing.
I also came across this product, pubic hair soothing bath drops.
Yes. So I'm going to get totally TMI here and
do it. We're all about the TMI.
She's booked. Rebook her immediately.
Okay. I'm Mediterranean. I have really coarse pubic hair, which means that for me, I suffer from a skin condition, which is to the average sort of person, it's probably like an ingrown hair, but a lot worse. So anytime, and I don't always want to either laser or shave. I just want to keep that coarse hair nourished so that I don't suffer from this condition. It doesn't always just have to be that. Some of us love a bush. We want to keep our bush. And the bush on our head and the bush between our legs is just as important. We also like to feel good and take care of ourselves when we're, you know, streaking around naked.
You know people that are always sex ready? Mm. I'm impressed by those people.
Are there people?
Yeah, I think there are people that are always sex ready. So, Dominique, if you're getting ready, right, so you've got the mask, you've got the oil.
Bath drops.
How many days?
Well, let's think about it this way, right? I think we're all sex ready. There's only two reasons why we shave our legs.
And they are?
Potentially. One of them, obviously, for some who believe that they need to shave their legs in order to fit in society. And most of us shave our legs to be sex ready, right?
Mm, yeah. That or swimming.
And I think
shall I do? Yeah. I won't do it.
Hang on. Dominic deserves this. Dominic, if we want TMI, you ready?
Yes.
Sex and swimming. I have this analogy. I should probably write a paper on this.
No, don't do that.
I think one day.
No, don't do that.
Anyway, you're right, Dominique. There are just the two reasons why.
I think when sex and swimming, you might want to put safe sex and swimming somewhere along in that paragraph. But, you know, that's for most of my generation, and I'm in my 40s, you know, shaving your legs was the first port of call that you did. The first thing you did before getting sex ready was shaving your legs, shaving your armpits. And I was living in the Southern Hemisphere, so we were always swim ready in order to have a great, you know, sort of clean bikini. But society has ingrained in us that we need to have, or we should have, smooth legs. You don't have to.
And of course,
you don't have to do anything.
Of course, if you feel that you do need to and you haven't shaved your legs, that is, of course, when the sex happens, isn't it? When you're sex ready, that's never going
to
happen.
I used to have a friend, I think I've mentioned her before, and she would deliberately not shave her legs or sort out down there.
So she,
so that she wouldn't, because she did have a little bit of a reputation of going out, not planning on making sweet love, and it would happen. So that was what she thought she would do as a sort of a way of stopping.
But I'm saying three baby shams too many. She
and
still did
out
it,
the window.
And then she had what she would see as the shame,
the fear. Mm, yeah.
Oh, Dominique, life is so tricky, isn't
it? We've got to throw away that shame.
Yes,
and I do believe that protection method your friend used is probably still widely used today.
Mm. I don't think it's recommended by the NHS though in their contraception leaflet.
Ali's up for doing some sex education classes, and I'm doing. Hey, Dominique, can I say CBD oil for your vagina?
What?
Yes, if you want to relax, if you want a happy noonie.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, look, I think when it comes to CBD, there's a lot of unknowns, but there is proven research when CBD is placed, for example, in a product like a lubricant, which is organic. There is a lot of healing that can be done. Remember, in any part of our lives, you know, at any moment, we're not always lubricated. We're not, and you don't have to be, but it definitely enhances the experience. There's healing process, there's blood flow, there's the calming, there's also the psychological connection that we have to it. There are many benefits in using a good CBD oil. I would recommend that everybody who is going to try CBD oils or lubricants really do their homework. There's lots of really great articles out there because, again, you know, we don't know everything there is about CBD, but it has proven to work. I personally always put CBD, a drop underneath my tongue, keep me healthy, keep my immune system up. And during menstrual cycles, if you're having period pain, CBD is also a really great alleviant rather than taking, let's say, a drug.
And also, and of course, whatever's in cannabis, normally the munchy bit, the high bit, that's not in these oils.
That's correct. That isn't it.
That's unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah, that's put me off the idea.
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, open opportunities around the world. We'll see where this heads.
I have had CBD truffles.
I remember. Yeah. I remember what happened after.
Yeah, and there was a definite, I definitely felt relaxed. I felt like you feel when you've been in a bath, a really warm bath for a long time. It's that sort of...
You actually been in a really warm bath for a long time?
No. But
Did they taste nice?
They tasted just like a chocolate truffle.
Wow.
Yeah. With added relaxant.
And how long did they take to work?
I don't know. It was pretty straight after the eating of said truffle that I felt very relaxed. But I did eat a lot of truffles, to be fair.
The question we all want to know is, did you have great pleasure afterwards or during?
Oh, no, I was actually on air at the time when I ate them. So that
were you?
I was doing a radio show. So that would have been highly inappropriate had I started that carry on.
Maybe it was one of your best shows. So yeah. We'll have to go back.
Dominique, here's another one I thought in the trends, because we're talking a lot about sexual well-being for women. And I quite like this one, Myhixel.
Yeah, so Myhixel is actually for men. And the beauty around Myhixel is we have had a big focus, right, on female sexuality, and rightfully so, because for centuries we've been ignored. But we can't ignore the other half of the population of the world, and a vast majority of them have a penis. Myhixel is specifically for men who consider themselves or have been diagnosed with a premature ejaculation. What that means is they ejaculate or they climax in less than 3 minutes. And this product, along with a gamified app, it's a program developed by urologists, sexologists, doctors, helps men decide when they're going to control their climax. So if maybe you only lasted 2 minutes using the product, you can now last up to 8 minutes. Now, there's a lot of stigma and stereotypes shrouded around that inverted commas dysfunction. But it's been proven that it's not a medical dysfunction. It's often a cognitive dysfunction. And like for women who don't achieve an orgasm every time they have sex, the same for men in premature ejaculation, there is a huge pressure to please a partner or to last longer. And a lot of the virility is aligned with how long they last in bed, right? So this is just empowering men and teaching them how to really retrain the muscle, both between the legs and in the head. It's really a revolutionary product, and it's the only therapeutic alternative. So well done to my Hexapol thinking also of men, which ultimately affects in a heteronormative way their partners. Mm. So, you know, well done for adding value in a relationship.
One thing we have to talk a lot about on this programme is the sex toy industry. And I imagine in 2020, they'll be looking for even more, well, wild, wacky, you name it, different ways of stimulation. This caught my eye, clip-on vibrators.
Where do you clip it on?
Yeah. I was hoping Dominique might be able to tell us.
It says what it does on the box. When we say clip on, remember it's a medically
proven
product.
Are we saying clip on or clit on? Just want to clarify.
Actually, it was called clitit, I think. But you clip it on to the clitoris, and the tenor and the pressure is the same that is registered in order to create arousal through the nipple. So it's certainly not like, you know, your washing peg that's just been attached.
But it is like hands free. It's basically like, you know,
Ali likes to wash up. Ali's a very busy woman.
To be fair,
you can get on with chores.
Exactly.
This is more in the medical channel, and the idea of this product is to help women learn how to have an orgasm. When we're dealing with products and having to discover where to place it, how to place it, how to introduce it in a relationship, that in itself can be precious. So having a product that allows a perfect or a well-researched amount of vibration and pressure that will ultimately allow your body to reach an orgasm. Just an interesting fact, ladies. There is 1 billion women today walking on the planet that have never experienced an orgasm.
A billion.
A billion. How would we know that, though? I mean, has somebody gone around with a clipboard asking people?
A clipboard?
But that's the conservative research number, right? Because not everyone's going to be honest and true.
Exactly.
Some people feel embarrassed. But that's the conservative number. And if you think just within your social circle, maybe your grandmothers, maybe your mothers, maybe your friends – have never even seen their vulva, investigated or discovered their vulva, or have a question mark on whether or not they've actually achieved or experienced an orgasm.
And if we're talking...
You'll be surprised. I think a lot of your closest social circle will admit, actually, I'm not quite sure if I've had one.
Yeah, and if we're talking that 2020 is the decade of sexual well-being... How important is it then? How important is it to have good sex? How important is it to have an orgasm?
It's not just about the orgasm. It's our most human pursuit is pleasure, because whatever we experience, sensorial, auditory, an orgasm, it helps us empower ourselves through a physical, biological, even mentally. There's so much research and science that shows that pleasure and, yes, achieving an orgasm is good for us. It keeps us healthy, connected, and happy. So if that's the core of how you want to move through the world, why wouldn't you? So how important is it, whether we like it or not, how we identify sexually, how we communicate, how we have relations, it affects us. It's a large part of us, and we can't really ignore it. You can, but... there's this opportunity. We take so much time to invest in our education, in meditating, in maybe our physical body, our health. Why wouldn't we want to do this?
Sticking with sex toys, if we may. I read, Bibi, that you recently, I don't know if you tried it out.
Hang on a minute.
I definitely saw something on social media about the world's first wearable smart vibrator and you.
Yeah. I'm the face.
You're the face.
Of Vibes.
That's a big market, isn't there? This idea of smart technology being used in this way.
Yeah, and it's super smart, and it's what we've discussed this, haven't we? About for long distance relationships, it's perfect. But actually, it's not just about that, is it, Dominique? Again, for solo play, if you just want to go around having your day. It's just an added element, isn't it?
Doing a radio show.
He's doing a radio show. Yeah,
you're not, are you?
Alison, right, a lady never tells.
That's not
but that feedback was me.
Okay.
Sorry, Dom.
No, it's absolutely fine. I'm asked the question, do we really need technology or smart technology when using a toy? And the toy is huge. It's a $12 billion industry. And it's quite a noisy space, literally. But technology is not just there. It's like you said, Bibi, it's to connect. And whether it's connecting to yourself, whether it's connecting to a partner, whether it's facilitating, hey, use this app with a partner or myself, and I'm going to try it in different places. I'm maybe going to use it on the inside of my thigh or around my nipple or on my neck. Now, a nice little trick with a toy to understand how powerful the vibrations are, if it may be too hard or too soft, is to switch it on and put it on the tip of your nose.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you get some funny looks in Anne Summers at that carry-on.
Ali and Waitrose.
That's when you're going to be asked to leave.
is to put it on the tip of your nose and see how that sensation feels for you.
Right.
You know, you
and what are we looking for?
And say, can I try this out and give it back to you if I don't want it? Sorry, what was the question?
What are we looking for in the sensation then? So just if the strength of it, if we how much we like it?
Whatever feels good for you. What's good for you? Some people want, you know, the feeling of a 50cc engine. Others just want a little tickle. That's the point, right? To explore what you like and what you maybe didn't know you like, and then to share and communicate that if you want with a partner or partners. It's education, it's knowledge, it's understanding and discovery. But I would recommend tip of your nose, and then you know if you got a good starting point. If it's too strong, put it down, go to the next one.
What I'm loving as well about this new decade, so it's not just sexual well-being, Ali, it's about sensual intelligence. Mm. And that sounds lovely. And then it sounds a little bit, oh my blimey, clitoral and cervix stimulation. Cervix stimulation.
Well, most women have an orgasm or pleasure through just the clitoral area. And our cervixes can provide a lot of pleasure. But they, in my case, I've had a baby, I'm sharing so much on the show, but I had natural birth and my cervix, my uterus, my womb, my everything inside has been traumatized, people, traumatized. Mm. And nobody gives you that in the leaflet. Everything changes, right? None of that is in the books. Well, not 8 years ago when I had a baby. No one talks to you about it. There's nothing about healing. There's nothing about, hey, you're going to push a watermelon out of a pip hole and your entire intimacy is going to change. In fact, you know, gravity will get a hold of you and things will happen. And so, again, I think the conversation is not about where we're learning, but the fact that we're learning. You know, we need to know better to experience better. And it just hasn't been around, which is why you're going to discover with products or solutions or talk with friends or go to events. You know, there is a School of Sexual Wellness, Entomology Institute. There is, you know, events being held by brands that really want and advocates, influencers. There's now conversations and dialogues to teach us that we have options. There's things that we can talk about and discover, things we never knew. And like the biggest cover of history is the clitoris. Never mind who killed Kennedy.
Because we always think sex is, I guess, like, well, you're just saying about, you know, that when you have kids, no one kind of really tells you. And I guess the same with parenting. People just assume you're going to know how to do it. It's a natural thing. And that may or may not be the case. With sex, you kind of think it's, if it works, it's going to work because you two should be together. You know, sex is good or it isn't good. And I love that we're exploring all these, you know, the truth around it and discovery around it. But I still go back to that point of, does it make it too cerebral?
Are we almost trying too hard?
And does that then take away from the, oh my God, look at him, feel? Do you know what I mean?
You know, it could be possible, yes. It's not to say we can't. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I think, looking at him and going, oh my God, that's amazing, right? We are as delighted by sensory as we are by touch and auditory. I think like anything, you have to work, do what suits you, do what works for you. But what we've had as options has been very limited.
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying, well, I'm going to have a baby and I've read every single book and I know exactly how to be a great parent. Well, news to you, that does not work like that. You've got to, you take on all the advice and then you do what works for you.
Mm.
you try it out and see and hope for the best when it comes to raising kids.
Another trend for 2020, forget going to the gym just to kind of get rid of your bingo wings. Now it's all about vagina strength. We all want stronger vaginas, and Kegel bells are the way to do that. Isn't that kettlebells, it's Kegel bells.
Isn't that
time.
How we're chiming in Brexit?
With Kegel bells. Oh, we should do. It would be different.
I mean, let's be honest. It's not cool to pee in your pants when you laugh.
Is it not?
And I mean, unless you're in a kinkster environment or a fetish environment.
Unless somebody has asked you to do that for their pleasure, it's not
like,
okay.
No, what a woman likes urine dribbling down her panties. It's just, it's not cool, right? And it's uncomfortable. And it really, again, that's just all the stuff that happens that people don't tell you about. And it's not just when you have a baby. It can happen a lot younger. It's a muscle. And that whole pelvic area, that whole area between our waist and our knees, it's muscles.
We're squeezing as we speak. Totally. She's there. She's clenched.
Here's an interesting statistic, right? Because 9 out of 10 women, we all know we've got to do it. Probably 2 out of us know how to do it. So it's really important to take the time to work with products and experts that are going to teach you how to do it. Do I believe that you have to pay £300 for a product? No.
Is that how much a Kegel bell will cost you?
No, it can be as little as $8.99. But the other ones.
Oh, I'd worry though. If there's some on the market for £300, I'd worry about an $8.99, wouldn't you? I'd be like, why is that so cheap?
There's the passive, what we call the passive, which Bibi's doing now, right? So she would just be holding something within her vaginal wall. And the other expensive is, it's got an app and it's programmed. It's fun. It's a little like playing Candy Crush with your vagina. It gets me interested enough to do it every day.
What's your top score?
I haven't done it in a year. So, you know what? I potentially may have peed in my pants last week.
If we're doing it, so Ali, how do we do it? Because the way we think we do it is you're acting like you are going for a wee and you're stopping. Yeah. Is that just how you do it? Yeah. If you're not using bits?
No. I'd highly recommend sending you some material to read. But ideally, what it measures is how fast you can hold, how strong you can hold, and how long you can hold.
Right.
So it's not necessarily just stopping the wee. There's a few processes. I'd recommend going to a few sites or looking up how to do natural Kegels or using, I would never recommend using an automated product straight away. You get the Kegel balls and they're weighted differently. So starting with a lightweight, apply some lube, insert it, and basically hold it in while you're vacuuming for 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes. During the course of the day, and then work your way up. You know, if you've never been to gym, you wouldn't just walk in and pick up a 50 kilo dumbbell. You'd tear a set of muscles and hurt yourself.
My kids already look quite surprised when they see mummy vacuuming.
With a smile.
Whenever they see me with a hoover, they're like, oh, is there someone coming round? And now they'll be me with a ball. I tell you what, though, we should definitely add a few games of this at that pamper party we're having. I can see it now.
Who's doing the buffet?
I would not recommend doing the balls while you have pets in the house, in case you drop that sucker. And then there's nothing you're going to be able to do. No amount of entertainment.
Rover will think it's a new game. Fetch.
Oh, my God.
I have a question for you, lady.
Don't answer it.
What's a jade egg? I keep reading about jade eggs. Yeah.
Made from jade, isn't it?
But is that the same as a Kegel ball or not?
Well, it has the same attributes in helping your pelvic area, but now we're talking slightly for me, not for everyone. This for me is quite on the woo-woo side. And it's really about blood flow, unblocking energies, creating strength within the vaginal areas. So there's a lot of intricate benefits of using a jade egg. Again, I'd highly recommend talking to an expert or even going to a class on how to learn how to use a jade egg. You can experience the same by using toys that are made out of ceramic, glass, metal, and it really is about largely about the health benefits, but also about unblocking energies. So if you are a person like myself who meditates, who does a lot of breath work, and feels like, in my case, after having a baby naturally that took 3 days, there's a lot of healing that needs to take place. And we're 8 years in, ladies, and I'm still not there. But
yeah. You've got to be careful, actually, with those jade eggs, though. Talking about Gwyneth again, she got in trouble, actually. I think it was last year sometime. Her company were fined because of their unsubstantiated marketing claims about the aforementioned jade egg, because there were concerns about, well, toxic shock syndrome, bacteria. And I suppose that's the worry. Once you start sticking anything up there, so to speak.
You know, think about it. This industry is not as regulated as, let's say, the beauty industry, which is an industry I worked in for a very long time. So there are a lot of brands out there that can give you a lot of empty promises. It's nothing new, but you know, you've got to be careful, and you've got to be up to date with also products. The rambid rabbit that was made out of the toxic PVC, the jelly rabbit, you know, we don't see it anymore because we've wised up to the fact that we want better materials. We want medical grade silicone that's clean. We're now looking at biodegradable silicones that are environmentally friendly. We're looking at materials like glass, like steel, like ceramic or natural materials, which is much better for us. Before we were all quite happy to put a toxic, you know, tampon on our purse.
Yeah. We were looking at vegan sex toys, weren't we, last week? Dominique, so 2020 is the decade of or the 20s rather, is the decade of sexual well-being. Is that internationally? Is there a country or region that's kind of more on top of this than we are in Britain? Is there somewhere that kind of already you think has the answers?
I wouldn't say that there's a country that has all the answers. I would say, you know, with rise of Me Too movements, of politics, of social changes, of dialogues, of social media, products, innovation, investments, all of this combined together, it's opened up the floodgates to say, hey, this area of our lives has been largely neglected. I would say it's the century, or it's the decade of learning. Right. And being allowed to investigate, whether it's through content, through events, through products, through play. We're speaking more openly about it. It's the decade of taking away shame and really demystifying a lot of these taboos. Some countries, because you've got cultural and historical factors in play, you know, you if you're in Poland today, you can't go buy a menstrual cup in a pharmacy. You've still got to go to a gynecologist. Whereas today, you can walk into Boots and get a menstrual cup. So there are some cultures that are a little bit more open. There's none that I would say are better than the other, but we all are aware of it, and it's definitely all moving into the mainstream dialogue and conversations.
£60, if you're interested.
What is
jade eggs on Gwyneth Paltrow's website?
Wow!
Can I just told us that her company got in trouble because they don't work.
She's still selling them, though. This is what it says next to them: eggs are pre-drilled for string add-on. We recommend using unwaxed dental floss. Anyway, can we move on to sexy smells?
Oh,
because apparently that's going to be a big growth area in 2020.
Yeah. So Lynx, bit of Swarfiga.
So a little bit around the sensory, right? So while we all have been focusing on the act of sex, there's so much more to us that can be stimulated and aroused. So senses, as far as smell and audio, is a big play for 2020. So things like audio erotica for women.
Oh, we had that amazing woman on the show, didn't we?
We had Girl on the Net.
Girl on the Net.
Yeah, fabulous. Yes.
So, you know, is that SMR? So, you know, whispering.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
I love a bit of this.
I won't do it.
You can't cope. Do it.
I don't have the voice for it, but you know, that type of sensory stimulation just opens up worlds of arousal that maybe people didn't know about. Smells, again, connecting to what works for you, what doesn't work for you, oils when rubbing it on the skin. You know, for me, musk is a wonderful smell. So, like, I used to wear a fragrance, wait, like, every person over 90 is going to love me for this, called Eden by Cacharel.
Cacharel.
That only grannies wore, and it smelt awful on anyone else, but on me, people would stop and ask me what I was wearing, and then I'd tell them, and they'd hiss at me while they walk past. But is a wonderful smell. Something very sweet doesn't work for someone else. And also natural body odors. So there is also a conversation around using your own body secretion as a balm or to place on your sensory areas. So behind
hang on.
I was getting ready for Bibi to get into this.
What are you suggesting?
So I am suggesting using your own secretions as your own or cream or lubricant, shall I say, on your body.
We lost the line there. We need to get you to repeat that again, because I feel like we need to hear all of that. Okay, let's just do that bit again.
Body lubricants, natural body lubricants used as your own pheromone fragrance on your body.
So a little dip and dab.
What, a little bit behind
you? A little dip and dab.
Well, yeah. I'm not. Well,
no. Ali's right now Googling secretions.
I'm not sure what to say about that. There is a big belief, isn't there, that I've forgotten the name now, but we all give off these natural pheromones. And that you kind of get this immediate attraction to somebody.
So what's that? So some people would just respond positively or negatively to a certain pheromone or to a certain person because of their smell. But why are we doing that?
Well, it's an arousal process for us. So, you know, we're using synthetic fragrances to mask something that maybe someone else considers extremely arousal or pleasurable. Yeah.
So, Dominique, there's you covering yourself in your Cacharel.
Yeah.
And you might miss out on the man of your dreams because actually he prefers your natural pheromones to your white musk.
White mask.
Do you remember white mask?
I loved white mask.
Oh, I hated white mask.
Did you?
Every girl at school had white mask on. The classroom would stink of it. I was more jubery.
And this is the thing. So again, though, so you were saying, Dominique, that some, you know, so sweet smells might not work for one person or a musk might work for another. Are there proven smells that do elicit a certain response to in everyone in the way that certain foods are supposed to be, aphrodisiacs? Are there certain smells?
I'm sure there is research behind it. I don't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot of science and research behind that. We even are testing, you know, we even examine, for example, the hormones released during our sweat when we are in an adrenaline phase. And we measure that against, you know, smells, against blood flow, what the body's producing, really to understand how the body is working and then how that interacts with someone else. So there's a lot of science-backed research that goes into creating new innovation that will help us in a positive way. But, you know, our bodies, Mother Nature, she's pretty intelligent. You know, she's thought of a lot of things for us, but we, through society and through cultural sort of labels, have thought never to rely on Mother Nature. We're a very commercially driven, consumable driven society. So we'll look elsewhere other than our own very bodies.
And I guess there is money in this new, well, not, I know it's not new, but kind of really embracing the sexual well-being, that business as well. There's some dollar in that.
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime the journey is going to take you to a positive space and you're able to create that safe space in your life to explore and discover, it's beneficial. You know, there are enough labels that society insists that we wear. And I think it's time that we try and let go of them, because we can't really discover pure pleasure. We can't discover who we are unless we get rid of them.
What does it for you? What's your sexiest smell, BB?
You looking at me?
Yeah.
Sexiest smell?
Are there certain smells that make you feel amorous?
Toblerone.
Dominique, what does it for you?
Mine, to make me feel sexy, is jasmine. I love the smell of fresh jasmine.
Oh, yeah.
And the ocean. Yeah, I love it. I grew up on the sea. And the other one is I love a man with a good natural, you know, cleanliness, their clean, fresh smell.
I do like a man who smells nice.
Are we allowed to just go up to them and smell them?
I think so.
Are we?
I think that's
okay.
That's okay.
Not,
that's okay.
Might want to. You might want to get consent first.
Yes, you're right. Is it okay if I sniff you? That's going to go down beautifully. Because there are certain aftershaves as well. I think that really do it.
Okay.
For me. Yeah.
Antius Chanel for men.
Oh, really?
Antius men.
I remember having this massive crush on a boy at school, and he wore Yves Saint Laurent's Jazz.
Jazz. Are you sure there was? That's no typo.
And I remember being so obsessed with this boy and his smell that me and my best friend went and bought a bottle of Jazz aftershave just
and
so we could spray it around. Yeah. How sad.
I've done the same with Antius and actually bought it for a subsequent boyfriend. I mean, that's terrible.
Can you do that?
Well, I did.
Well, it's funny. Again, one of our colleagues who shall remain nameless, I remember a couple of Christmases ago, him saying to me, do you think it's wrong if I buy my wife the perfume that my ex used to wear?
Oh.
Isaac,
what'd
go
you
for
say?
It. They're now divorced. No, they're not.
Do you remember when the Liz Hurley ad came out for fragrance? And one of the most successful marketing campaigns is when they put Liz Hurley on the billboard with the dog, and it was, I can't remember what fragrance it was, but the marketing campaign wasn't for women. The marketing campaign was for men. It's for men to buy the fragrance to enhance their experience with whoever's wearing it. So he's not that off in buying it to make it smell like his ex-girlfriend. It's the association he has with that fragrance.
Yeah.
And when I was on the tube the other day and smelt someone's aftershave, and when that smell hits you and it makes you warm in your stomach, right? It's the type that kind of clings to your ribs and it just makes your
this
heart
is doing it for me, Dominique.
Oh, yeah. Just say that again.
You kind of breathe it in and it turns around. Your stomach kind of does a flop and then it just sticks to the ribs. It kind of sticks with you for a little bit. What an amazing moment. Just hold on to that moment. It doesn't matter who was wearing it. It smelt amazing. It will make you want to send a text to whoever you know.
Who needs ASMR when you've got Dominique around? Would you like to hear a little bit of ASMR?
Yeah, go on.
What are we thinking?
Well, first of all, the script. Everyone likes to get hugs because they are, you know, just an awesome thing all around. A, no. B, no, it sounds like he hasn't had water and he's got that clacky, clacky, clammy. Oh, my. It makes, it
now
gives
you
me.
See, I love that. I'm a very audio person.
Yeah.
So I go to, there's an audio app. Believe it or not, it's German, and I don't speak German. But it's called Femtasy, and it's audio erotica for women. And the man's
in German
voice,
though,
he could be speaking gibberish for all I care.
His Sorry, voice, you don't speak German, and you're listening to a man.
Wait, his voice is like liquid velvet. It is just for me. It's bliss because if someone has a very squeaky voice, which is of course no fault of their own, you will literally see me on the other side of the room within 10 seconds.
Oh, please send me this link. Please send me because I really want to hear the sexy German man just saying nothing.
Well, he exactly. He's you don't know what he's saying, but you know he's saying something.
He could be reading out his shopping list,
but
whatever.
Yeah.
and you can have different voices, right? Female, male, depends.
I like the idea of the audio erotica. I think that's really cool. And it's as Girl on Net was saying, that the appeal of it, of course, as you know, is that you put on your own, you put your own protagonist in the character. So you can you really just use it. And it goes right, it's in your
it's
ears.
More
it's that intimate,
isn't
exactly.
it, than watching something on
that's why
and
people,
also TV. As women, we have not been exposed to audio. If you consider porn, where majority of the time the female-led character is screaming, you are not given the opportunity to hear and experience or indulge in a male's voice. If you are of a heteronormative sort of sexuality. And a lot of women are, just like men, appreciate the pleasure being vocal, you don't get to hear the men breathing and panting and moaning in pleasure. And for a lot of women, that is exciting for them. That's arousal, to give pleasure to someone else.
Alison, I really think I want to marry Dominique.
You sound like doing that ASMR. Yeah.
I really think I want to marry. I really want to hug her because hugs are so great.
You talk like that.
So awesome.
So awesome all around.
Like, can you speak German?
Nine.
One thing I thought was really good, actually, about these kind of sexual trends of 2020 is that the link between sexual and mental health will be spoken about more than ever.
Yes. Well, okay. Think about if you have experienced an orgasm or just pleasure, right? In that moment of experiencing pleasure, how did you feel afterwards or during? Happy?
Arrested.
At any moment? Maybe... free of thinking about worry, maybe not carrying any labels, joy. Think of all the words that describe how you feel: powerful, empowered, beautiful, calm, whatever it brings to you, that every other facet of our lives, be it meditating, exercise, eating healthily, is trying to encourage. Pleasure does the same. And there's a lot of research and science that proves that experiencing pleasure is mentally good for us. Very few people who experience a consensual, welcomed orgasm get up feeling very negative about themselves. So it's a natural progression that when we take the time to experience pleasure in our lives, and we connect, whether it's even putting body cream on your body and feeling connected to who you are mentally, that is positive and it's empowering. Why wouldn't we want to take the time to do that for ourselves?
I love all this. You know what, though? If the 20s are all this sexual well-being and sacred sex, which is a great expression, what's the decade after going to do? Where does this go? Do we just stop then because we've mastered it all?
No, I think, in my opinion, I think it moves to understanding kindness. And I think kindness is a currency or a language or a lexicon we know very little about in our lives. We do it sporadically, but it doesn't become a mantra in our life. It's not a focus of how we move through this world. And with pleasure and self-care and whether it's sacred and you're having 5-hour cervical orgasms or you're just discovering where your clitoris is, through pleasure comes kindness to yourself first. And then you're more open to giving and receiving. And for some, this may sound very woo-woo, but kindness, we tend to sort of reserve sometimes in our lives, whether it's just for our family or just for our friends, or you show it to me first and then I'll give it to you. And kindness in the business place, oh my goodness, does that work? No, until such time as we give it to ourselves so that we can then pass it on forward. So for some, this may sound very woo-woo, but I think kindness will be the follow-on.
I love that.
Yeah, and I would take woo-woo any day over what I thought you were going to come on and say today. I thought we were going to be talking about sexual trends of 2020. It was going to be sex with robots and what have you. And actually,
well, those have a place.
Not in my bed.
I'm going to ask you when you're about 80 one day. And decide whether or not Harrison the robot,
Harrison
tickles your back and allows you to live independently and not in a home, might be an option for you.
What does Harrison smell like?
What's that stuff?
Yves Saint Laurent jazz.
Get you some of your Yves Saint Laurent, and spray him all over. So I think the technology, we're not going to be able to talk about sex without talking about technology, because technology is a facilitator for us. It is our social permission. We all have the biological parts, but we don't have the social permission to explore pleasure and sex and positivity. Technology facilitates that, and we don't ever want to give that away.
We've waited long enough.
Wow.
Can we talk about Gwyneth's candle? What do we think Gwyneth's vagina smells like? That is literally the name
of the candle, which has now sold out on her website. So the candle is called This Smells Like My Vagina. Now, you know me. I'm very partial to a scented candle. I've got quite a thing about them.
You love them.
I love it. I mean, you know, one day I hope to own a Jo Malone. Oh. Up until that point, it'll be Aldi's knockoffs. But, you know, I do like maybe a Yankee candle if they're in the sale.
If it's Christmas, yeah.
But, you know, the kind of candles I would go for, I like a little bit of white linen.
Do you?
I do. Can't go wrong with lime and basil. Pomegranate.
My dad's middle name was Basil.
Oh, there you go.
I like coconut, vanilla, kind of smell. But, are you asking me if that's what my...
But vagina? I mean, I just don't get it. £58 they cost and they're sold out. Although, she used to sell sex dust for the same amount of money.
Do you know what? I'm starting to love Gwyneth.
Yeah, she's taking the mickey out of everyone.
Gwyneth just doesn't care.
She's just taking the absolute what?
Any of us met Gwyneth? Dominique, you met her?
No, I haven't. And, you know, the candle is included because people are buying it. But actually, my opinion is if we were doing anything to help women about, you know, sensory and sense, then give me a candle that I can make into my own scent, into my own pheromone, right? Yeah. Gwyneth, fantastic that your vulva smells like that. That's wonderful. And for anyone who is just, you know, elated with, can now sniff their way to an orgasm. But I think what is the question here is we have in this industry, because we're not regulated, we have a moral and an ethical duty to have some fun, but yes, also provide products that are really going to help us and deliver what they promise. Now, I'm not willing to, I bet she's not willing to let anyone do a sniff test to see if there's any truth. Hey, I'm sure I'd be willing to test it out. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are willing to test it out.
But apparently, it's a beautifully unexpected scent of geranium, citrusy bergamot, and cedar juxtaposed with damask rose and ambretta seed. She must have spent a lot of time up there to have picked up on all of that.
That sounds amazing. And who wouldn't want their vulva to smell like that? I would love my vulva to smell like that. But then help me make my vulva smell like that, because that's what turns me on.
Do you know, I haven't even had my breakfast. This conversation is just too much. Can't breathe.
There's a lot of, you know, Gwyneth Labia talk here. They're a company that's done very well in at least presenting products, you know, that get us talking and that get us thinking. And for that, well done. Congrats.
There should be a sex brand called Lip Service, shouldn't there?
Is there not?
I think it's got to be.
You need to
do that. Dominique.
Well, there's tulips called Tulips.
Oh, is
it's
there?
A vulva tulips, yeah.
Brilliant. Alison.
Yes.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. I've learned a lot, as always. Dominique, can we just say a massive thank you?
Amazing.
To you. Dominique Koretsos, ladies and gentlemen, sex trends expert from Healthy Pleasure Collective. How can people find out more about what you do, Dominique?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Dominique Koretsos, or just go straight to Healthy Pleasure Collective site or Entomology Institute, which is our sexual wellness education company.
Amazing. Fantastic. Thank you.
Dominique, thank you so much. So, this pamper party of ours, what are we thinking?
I'm going to bring some dips.
Yeah.
I'm going to, the cucumber, are we still going with that?
I think so.
For the eyes. So. Well, we can have some soothing music.
I wonder how much a vulva mask costs. I should probably look.
Should I have a look?
Have a look and see. What was it called?
Do you think it's just you just use it once? It's
I think so, and I'm not sure it's something you share. Okay. I think we'll need one each. Now, I know what I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
A hotel room.
What?
I read your article. Hello. You get that quiet? Can we go there? Can we discuss? This is a brilliant article that Bibi wrote about having sex in your 50s.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised. She's kept that one quiet. Where can people read that article if they would like to?
It was a Guardian Labs piece. And it was about, a really lovely feature because there were four people writing about sex at their different ages, like generational sex, which I think is really interesting, which we should maybe explore more as well. Mm. I wrote about what sex in the 50s and kind of, in your 50s, not in the 1950s, in one's 50s and what you think it's going to be like and what it is like. And, so it's Guardian Labs, or just go on my Twitter and it's all over that. Thanks, Alison.
No, it was very interesting.
Did you learn anything?
I learned you were having sex. So yeah, I did. I learned a lot. So I found this site, but it doesn't tell me how much it is. But that can't be right.
What, the vulva mask?
Yeah. Hang on. Oh, because I don't know which country I'm in, but that's not even in pounds. I don't even know what that is in. Well, anyway, I'll buy the mask.
Yeah, you do that. You take care of that. I'll take care of the food.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about next week?
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I've had a little look to see kind of what's making the news headlines when it comes
to... There's a new book out called The M-Word.
Okay.
Menopause.
Well, we could do that.
And, you know, there was that stat, wasn't there, that apparently if you have more sex, your early menopauses are less likely.
Yes, apparently. So they say. Because the only other story I came across is that there's been a rise in the number of men going to their GP with snapped penises. Anyway, we'll work on what we're going to do next week, but do join us next Wednesday from 9 until 10. You can always listen back as well via the BBC Sounds app.
I can't even talk to you anymore. I don't know you anymore.
We have been...
BB Lynch.
And Alison Byrne. Good night.
Good night. Live and local. After the Watershed.